might forget where I am, among other things that I forget. All right, well, let's see. Don't have my glasses on, so I really can't see that clock in the back. But I know that I promised you 15 minutes back tonight, right? I heard when we left, somebody said, you know, he's getting into my nap time. To which John replied, you're getting into his nap time. He's getting into his nap time too. So I didn't get a nap tonight or this afternoon, so that's all good and well. Now we have a youth fellowship after assembly tonight over at Laura's, and I'd like to thank Jake for all that he's doing through the summer months. I know that this morning it got hot. We actually just have two new air units in the portable outside, and maybe we should have put them in here, but we think we're out of Freon. So this side of the y'all might want to move over here. This side, there's a fan back there that's blowing. The further close you sit to the front, the more air you get. So Rhonda, you and Kevin might want to come down here. Yeah, you know, when I start sweating and shredding my jacket, that it's not good. This morning, we talked about the name Christian, that a Christian should be involved in evangelism, that a Christian should be courageous, and that a Christian should have some spiritual understanding and some spiritual grit. This evening, we're going to continue on talking about Christian. Not so much the name, but kind of what it entails. I started the lesson this morning with a poem about Guy Fawkes, and, you know, remember the 5th of November, gunpowder treason and plot. Well, you know, I'm kind of out there anyway, you know, kind of on the outer rim and the edges. So this evening, we're going to talk about, you know, our relationship individually and how it changes us. You know, we read in the New Testament that we become a Christian by believing in Jesus Christ, by understanding that we are sinners, repenting of that, confessing Jesus as a risen Son of God, and putting Him on by immersion in the waters of baptism, coming in contact with His blood for the remission of our sins. That's how one becomes a Christian. And when that is done, we read in Acts 2 that the Lord adds those to the church. We find that the church within the epistles of Paul is likened to a bride awaiting the bridegroom, Jesus, to come back and take His bride home. That bride. You know, this evening we're going to take kind of that concept. And there's another poem that we all know. Now, you probably didn't know that poem this morning. But when you go to get married, something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. All right. Tonight you got 4 points, but the lesson will be shorter. Hold me to that, Cheryl. All right. So, very first thing is something that's old. Okay? A Christian. When a Christian thinks that something is old. We go to, we're only going to be really in 2 places in the New Testament this evening. We're going to start in Romans, the 6th chapter. And then and in Romans 6:5, Paul is speaking with the Romans, really the four verses about baptism and putting on Christ, being part of the risen body. And we get to verse 5, and he says, if we've been united with Christ in the likeness of His death, we will also be united with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. For we know this, that our old self, that old man of sin, has been crucified together with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should no longer serve sin. The very first thing as a Christian we all understand is that we have an old self. An old self has old selfish ways. Really, Christianity is really about either life in general. I'm going to be selfish or I'm going to be unselfish. If I'm going to be unselfish, I'm going to be like Christ, who gave his life up a ransom for many. If I choose to be selfish, then guess what? I'm not going to share. I'm not going to experience the Christian graces. I'm not going to do the things that I need to do so that I can experience within the Christian life all that God wants me to experience, to have blessings that he wants me to have. But the very first thing we need to realize is that there's an old man of sin. We read in the book of Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for the ungodly, the sinners. He died for everyone. He died for you, for me, for those who will never even profess his name, confess his name, and follow him in obedience. But there in Romans 8, the 8th chapter, 8:1, says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but yet we have this old man of sin. We have this old person that is part of all of us. That's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to remember where we have been so we can enjoy where we are and so that we can look forward in hope to where we're going. There's a song in our song books that I lead sometimes, "Remind Me, Dear Lord." It's a wonderful song. I believe it's 606 in the song books. We're not going to take it out and read it, but if you have a song book at home, look at that song. Remind me of where you brought me from and remind me where I could have been. You know, we all have that old man of sin that as a Christian has been put aside. Roy, this morning in the scripture reading from Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 9, talked about the old man of sin that we shouldn't be that way. 3:9 says, "Do not lie one to another, since you have stripped off the old man with his deeds, and since you put on the new man, who's being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Not only is there an old man that we need to put away with, point number two, if there's an old man, what's next? Something old and something, yeah, there's a new man. Let's go to, I want to put your finger there, or marker, or whatever you want to mark your New Testaments with. But if you go over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we read something about that new man. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Christ's love constrains us that he died for the sake of all. Then all were dead. He died for the sake of all, that the living should no longer live for themselves," should not be selfish, that's where we started, "but should live for the one who died for their sake and was raised." And he continues on and he says, if anyone, verse 17, is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. That old man of sin is no longer there. There's a new creature, a new being, a new person. You know, when we come up out of the waters, when you're baptized, you come up out of the waters of baptism, you still look the same. You know, I baptized some people that I'm sure they thought they were going to get prettier when they come up out the water. I remember when Samantha was baptized, it was so hot, I looked like Sam's shirt when I got out of the... I was red from here down. When Caroline was baptized, me and a prison minister had to carry water on a cold January morning, and it was cold in the water. So I've been hot, I've been cold, but you know what? The outside, the physicality of us doesn't change. What changes is the inside of us, which is what endures. You know, the things that we see, last verse of 2 Corinthians 4, the 4th chapter, the things that we see are temporary, but the unseen things are eternal. And what becomes new is that eternal part of us. We're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're a new person, a new creature, a new creation, because the old things have passed away. If you look at the scripture reading that Roy read this morning in Colossians 3, That's exactly what Paul is saying to the Colossians. He says, you know, you once acted in such a way. Don't be like that anymore. You go to Ephesians, the second chapter. But God being rich in mercy, you were once dead in your transgressions. But God being rich in mercy, God made all the difference. He says, don't be like that anymore. Which were some of you. In other words, we all have the old man. But when we're baptized into Christ, we become new creatures. There's also a song about that in our songbook that we usually only sing when someone's immersed. Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old world of folly and sin. Those are wonderful words. Wonderful words for someone who's come to Christ. Because when you come to Christ, you understand that He has something to offer that only He can offer. In its newness of life. It's a willingness of the Godhead to give us a do-over, a mulligan, for us to be right again and have restored fellowship that was broken in the Garden of Eden. Because since that time, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, except one. Something old, something new, something borrowed. What's borrowed from the Christian? What does a Christian borrow? Now, I will admit this next one is a little bit of a stretch. Not much, but a little bit. Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. No one's righteous, we read in the Scriptures. No, not one, except God alone. But if you look at the last verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, talking about the reconciliation, we're going to start at verse 19. It's talking about this reconciliation process, putting off the old, being new. It says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, restoring that fellowship that was broken in the garden, not holding their sins against them, that He has given us, as Christians, the message of reconciliation. That's the message of the gospel. We therefore are ambassadors on Christ's behalf, as though God were beseeching through us. We beg you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For He, God, made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be the sin offering on our behalf, so that we might become God's righteousness, or that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. Something borrowed. When we make the conscious decision that Jesus is the Son of God and we're willing to confess that and step out in obedience, realizing that our person, our old man, is carrying sin that is not right, that has a broken relationship with God, and we want that relationship restored, and we want to put Christ on in baptism for the remission of our sins, to be a new creature, to be reconciled back to God. What we do, we borrow Christ's righteousness. Because we don't have any amongst ourselves. We borrow Christ's righteousness. But it's better than that. Because when we go down the waters of baptism, He says, you are righteous. You're righteous now. You weren't righteous before, but you're righteous now in Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians that it is a gift of God. It is a gift. Christ, right? Think about that. Because we get bogged down, and this goes real well, because tonight we kind of all intellectually understand that. Think what it's like for you to say, Lord, I want Christ's righteousness. Because that's what you're saying when you put Christ on in baptism. My righteousness, my unrighteousness will never be good enough. Only Christ's righteousness will. And He gives it, His righteousness, as a free gift to people who will accept it. The sad thing is that so many people reject the righteousness that God and that Christ offers. something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. Reconcile, reconciliation, being right once again with the Father, only happens one way. When we say we want Christ's righteousness in our life, we put Him on in the waters of baptism to come in contact with His blood that cleanses us from all, finish the phrase, all unrighteousness. For none is righteous, no, not one. Yet we sing the song, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, right? Not one. He is among everyone else highly esteemed because He paved the way for that reconciliation back to God. He paved the way for not just this blue, but what's above the bright blue. He paved the way to heaven. When during His ascension, during the time of His ascension, the last words that He spoke to His disciples that Matthew records is, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Luke picks up in Luke, the first chapter, and as Jesus ascends into heaven, there are spiritual beings, angels, that say, why do you stand looking toward the heavens? Do you not know that if Christ left this way, He will come back? John, the 14th chapter, we read that Christ has gone to prepare mansions for us, for His bride, for His church, for His body. Water, it's an element. What's amazing when you look at the table of elements, I've got so many chemists in my family, I can't even, and I have to look this up on the internet because I'm too dumb to know and recognize. Hydrogen and oxygen are two of the three most common elements in our universe. In all of God's creation, those two elements, two of the three most popular, combine to make H2O. Isn't it amazing that God's creation, the two most common elements, that with the right heart and the right understanding, can wash away our sins and pave the way for us to heaven as well. But if we choose not to act upon it, those same two elements do us no benefit at all. We can live a physical life, but we'll never have the spiritual life that God desires for us. I find that so ironic that so many people allow things to keep them from God who desperately wants them. And I think after you have a family and you understand some things, man, God did all that to allow an old man to become a new man, for that new man to have some righteousness through the waters of baptism, so that one day we could go above the bright blue to have restored fellowship with God. Jesus is coming back. He's gone to prepare mansions, but He's coming back. And He's going to take us so that where He is, He left so that where He is, we might always be with Him. Man, those are wonderful, wonderful words of John, the 14th chapter. It's words we need to put in our heart, to live in our life. So the next time somebody talks about, somebody gets up to give a Bible lesson and they talk about Christ and his bride, maybe you can think of something old and something new, something borrowed, something blue. This evening, the waters be put Christ on a basket.